This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good afternoon, everybody. As you heard, it's time to start. Cool. Why don't you stand up with us? Hope you guys are excited to be here. Yeah? Cool. It's hot. It's sunny. It's summer. It's good. All right. Awesome. I don't normally do this, but I just want to start. I'm going to read two verses today about the worship. Oh, I should probably play something. There we go. And I just want to just start with one verse, and then before we go into the rest of the worship, I'll do the other verse. So, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, which we see all over, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, not to be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. So, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. And I just want to say, let's steep ourselves in the worship today. Let's steep ourselves in his presence. So Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that we get to be here and to worship together in community, Lord. It doesn't matter if it's only 2 or 3 or 1,000, you still command the same blessing. And so we just declare that blessing over this place today. Lord, bless us in our time of worship, that we can experience you, that we can see you, and that we can just be in love. In Jesus' name.
Great are you, Lord,
attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. And in a traditional translation, that scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and all things will be added. And I just was, I was cycling here and I was kind of like, oh God, that scripture is like one of those scriptures that you just pull out of a hat when you need to say something, you know. And I was like, okay, what do you want to share? And then God just said, like, it's about the word seek. And he reminded me a lot of times lately, I put something in a weird spot and I can't find it. And then I walk around and I was like, oh, where is it? Oh, where is it? And I get like more and more frustrated and I lose patience. And, you know, God just so clearly said to me, like, when we come to him to seek him and his kingdom, he doesn't want us to come like that. And a lot of us do come like that because that's just how the world is. There's no patience. Everything's immediate. I was just talking to a colleague the other day about, like, you can at 11 o'clock at night order something on a grocery app and then you get it within 15 minutes. Like, we don't have to wait for anything anymore. But the beauty of our faith is that it is a very great waiting game. Everything about it. And it's beautiful. And it helps us to slow down. And the whole world around us is about telling us all the time that we shouldn't have to wait for the good stuff. You know, the time is now. And in many ways, our Christianity is about what's happening now, but this is not. This is a lifelong journey. And, you know, we come and worship every Sunday, and we can do it until we're blue in the face. And we will do it until the end of time, so it's all we'll do when we're in heaven one day. And I know some of us might think, oh, that's not so exciting. But the point is, when we come in worship, we are seeking. We're seeking God, what do you want to do now? God, what do you want to do then? God, what do you want to do here? God, what do you want to do there? And sometimes we don't get the answer in the first song. And then we're like, oh, okay, now there's three more songs to wait through. But I just want to encourage you, like, that scripture, seek first. Let us seek first his kingdom, his face, his love, his presence today. And let's take that with us today as well. That it is not by any means a quick thing. It really is a very slow vintage, if I can put it like that. And it's probably not going to end until we're in heaven. So Father, I just pray that we can seek you today as we worship, Lord, in the words, in the sounds, in our movements, in the way that we sing, in the way that we smile at the words, Lord, that word can be bold in our minds so that we are here to seek you. You are here, but many times we haven't arrived yet, Lord. And so we just pray today, Father, help us seek you, help us find you, help us knock on that door, help us ask those questions, Father, that we can have the perseverance, that we can have the stamina. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. When we
Thank you.
Just to think of those four great beasts in heaven who are going around and around the throne and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Thank you.
This afternoon it's going about I am. About the name of God, if we can put it. And it's actually special. God, so great, so big, as what we've been singing just now as well. And He wants to speak to us. And that today He wants to share with us who He is. And He says, I am. But before we're going to start and listen, let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you are God, that you're above all, that you are perfect, that you are life, that you are the beginning. Thank you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that this afternoon, as what we're going to listen, that we understand just a little bit more of who you are. And again, that we will be surprised, that we say, wow, the God we're serving is almighty. Yes, there are maybe things which are keeping our heads busy of what happened earlier today or this week. But Father, we also have got an authority that we can bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. That it's not going to distract us, that we can focus on what you want to share with us this afternoon about who you are. Thank you, Father, for being our Father through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Renee and me had the opportunity of last week Friday to go and visit a meeting in Nijmegen, the place where we are busy with looking up where we're going to start a church over there. And then you come into a room and then you see some faces you haven't seen before. And then you go and then you introduce yourself. You mention your name. And then at a certain time, you go around a circle that you can say where you're coming from which church or type of corporation or whatever you are, institution, and what is your input and what are you going to bring to that meeting. It was about who is going to be involved and how can you be involved with international students in Nijmegen. As we are busy in the process of planting an English-speaking church over there, they invited us as well. So the two of us, we could go and we could introduce ourselves. And then the name immediately tells a little bit about the person. And as we were talking and as it went around the circle, then each and every one could explain of what they were doing and what they thought that they could contribute or what they've already done in Utrecht. And in the evening as well, I think we had a meeting up till, I think it was 11:15 or so. It was the next day when we arrived home. But it was a process of learning more of that person sitting on the other side, of the person sitting next to you. Because as you're talking, the person is sharing, he's talking about his heart, what he thinks that institution where he's representing can be doing. And it colors in the picture what you've got of that person. You understand a person a little bit better. At the final end, when we left, me and Renee, we had a little bit of time in the car as well, where we could speak. And then you also can share how you experience each and every person and how you could see that person. But what I'm trying to say over there is that it is a process. We only saw those people, majority of them, only that evening for a few hours. We know a little bit about them, but we know what is in their heart concerning international students. And today I feel that God wants to speak to us about His name, I Am. And we're going to have a look at two questions. The first question is, who is God? And the second question, who is God for you? Starting with the first question, who is God? Then we can have a look at the Bible, the book with all the books of who God is, how He reveals Himself. And I'm going to take three parts out of it. I'm going to take out of Exodus, where God is speaking to Moses. We're going to have a look at the seven I Ams of Jesus. And we're going to have a look at Revelation, where it is mentioned again, I am. The first one is Exodus 3, verse 13 to 15. Moses is in a conversation with God at the burning bush, and God is giving him instructions, and Moses is just ducking and diving. He is not interested in taking those Israelites out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. He is not interested in that. And then at a certain time, verse 13, Moses says to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and I say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" So he's looking now for an excuse. Who has sent you? Because he's afraid that those people are going to ask him that. And then that awesome answer from God. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Certain translations you will also see that "I am" that I am, like in the King James. I am who I am. It's not really a name. It's just a statement. And then he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you." But God is helping Moses a little bit more, what he has got to say and what type of names he can use. Then he carries on in verse 15 and he says, "Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" When Moses asked that question, God didn't really say, "This is my name." He more made a type of a statement. He said, "This is what I am." Because he's basically saying, "Don't worry about my name, but be more concerned about who I am. Before getting my name, get my being." This, what you see on the screen now, is what I saw somewhere and I thought, okay, let me just copy paste it. But it gives a little bit of an indication of who God is. God's name is I am. It's actually not God's name. It is a statement what he's making. Not I was, or I might be, or I might get to it. I am. God is in control, always has been, and always will be. And this is the awesome thing of God. We can spend hours and hours sitting over here and talking about God and from different angles. And I think there have been written, many books have been written about God and about the Bible as well. But this afternoon, we're just going to have a look at that I am. What is God saying? I am. It means he never had a beginning. We don't know when God had a beginning. It will never end. Which means if he's giving that promise that we're going to be with him in heaven for eternity, that's a promise what he can make, because there is no end. God is also not depending on someone or something to support him or to make him what he is. He doesn't need that. And God is constant. God doesn't improve because he cannot improve. He's already perfect. You cannot improve if something is already perfect. And God is doing whatever he pleases because it's his will. And his will is always right. It's always beautiful and always in accord with truth. God is an absolute being. Means that he is the most important and the most valuable reality and the most important and the most valuable person in the universe. There's nothing higher than that. It's easy as that. We see in the Bible a lot of attributes about God, and we hear books about it, and we see a whole long list as well. And I'm not going to spend this afternoon on that, of God is omnipresent and he's God is love and those type of things. I am. This is what God wants to speak to us about this afternoon. And he's still helping Moses, because Moses was most probably saying, you know, how am I going to bring that message now to the Israelites? Who has sent you? I am who I am has sent me. And then the Israelites were maybe a little bit confused. So he says then to him in that verse 15, what we've read just now, "You shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers." It's a double name, Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah, that's the Jewish national name of God. And then God means the plural. That is the Godhead who is going to send him. This is how God revealed himself to Moses. And this is also how God is revealing himself to us. I am who I am. Jesus is also giving a little bit of I am statements. And he's doing it in the book of John. There are seven of them. And if we take a look at the writer John, we see seven times repeating quite often. But seven is a symbol of completeness, of perfectionism. The Jesus I am statements, I'm going to go them one by one. The first one is one which we can read in John 6 verse 35. More or less a similar one which we get in 41, 48 and 51. And Jesus said to them, the people who were around him, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This was understandable for the people in that time. In nowadays, it would be maybe that Jesus would have said, "I am the McBurger, I don't know. I am the Patat Met, I don't know." It would have been, immediately would have said, "Okay, we know what it means." In that time, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Without me, you cannot live. And he who believes in me will never thirst. He will give that living water." The next one is John 8, verses 12. He's in the temple now, and he's speaking over there. And then Jesus spoke to them again, including the Pharisees, and saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I am the light of the world. We heard it just now as well. John 1, verses 8. It wasn't John the Baptist who was the light, but he was going to testify about the light. John is basically repeating it now over here. Jesus is the light. He is the light of the world. The world is a darkness. We are aware of it. But Jesus is the light. Jesus is the solution for this world. John 10, verses 7 and 9, we've got exactly the same. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I said to you, I am the door of the sheep." Again, they could understand. If we're talking about the door of the sheep, then we will have a little bit of a difficulty. What does Jesus actually mean over here? But at night, the sheep were going in the top of a gathering with a high wall around it. And then what the shepherd would do, he would sleep in that opening, which means that nothing could come in and nothing could go out. He was the door. I'm the door of the sheep. I'm going to protect the sheep. No predator can come in and no sheep can go out. Now you've got to imagine that you've got to sleep now in that opening of that door so that nothing can go in and nothing can go out. This is what Jesus says. This is how much he cares about us. He is going to protect us. He is going to protect his followers. He carries on with that good shepherd in John 10 verses 11, and we read the same in 14. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. If you're not a good shepherd, and if there's a problem, then you're gone. Because the problem is too big. But Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I care about the sheep. I'm going to look after them. I'm going to be with them. Even then, when there are problems, I'll stay with them. John 11, 25. And he's speaking to Martha over there, when he was at Martha and Maria's place with the death of Lazarus. And Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I am the resurrection. Jesus is stronger than death. And if we believe in him, spiritual-wise, we're never going to die. We're always going to be with him forever and ever. Then he also speaks to Thomas in John 14, verses 6. And Jesus said to Thomas, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. On this one you can have a sermon on his own. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's just confirming again who he is. We cannot get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. We can do a lot of work. You can give all your money to the church. It doesn't help. We only can get to the Father, to the Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ. And then the last one, John 15, in 1 and 5, we see those two verses then. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Again. And if we take a look at those seven I am statements of Jesus Christ, and where Jesus is part of the Trinity, where we can hear then what God is saying, who God is, who God wants to be for us, then only those seven, then we say, but he is giving everything. God is giving everything for us, for his creation. He wants us that we should be close to him. He wants to care about us. He wants us that we should bear fruit. We've got another I am statement there. That's the one in Revelation. Revelations 1 verses 8. We've been singing it as well. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Again, John is talking in a language which is understandable for the people of that town. Because what the Jewish rabbis were doing is they did exactly the same. They took the first letter and the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then they also said it's covering everything. So it was understandable for the people at that time. Who is and who was and who is to come? The Almighty. The Almighty, we'll find it nine times in the Bible, of which eight times in Revelation. And the Almighty is including everything. It's just an awesome word. When we just were singing it again, it's for me always a confirmation that God wants to speak to us about what is on his heart. And then the songs and the word are combining it. That's the first question, who is God? But I said there's a next question. Who is God for you? We heard that God said, I am who I am. We heard Jesus giving the seven I am statements. And we just now heard it again. I am the Alpha and Omega. But who is God for you? Who is God for you? Can we really put that in words? We maybe can say, yes, I want to sing a song. No. Is there one thing what you say, this is for me who God is? Who is God for you? If you had to say to God who he is for you, what would you say to God? Think a little bit about it. What would you say to God? This is who God is for me. But it actually doesn't stop over there. If we're saying to God who he is for us, we've got to tell other people also who God is for us, that we can testify, that we can mention it, that we can say, but this is who God is for me. Because if we can put it in words, who God is for me, it's coming out of our heart. And then it's so much easier to explain that to somebody else. It doesn't help that you're going to quickly open up a book and quote what John Piper has been saying or another person has been saying about how he thinks who God is. But your heart, and it differs. All of us will most probably have different statements that we, at the moment, that you can say, but this is who God is for me. And it can differ. It can be, I don't know what. One will say, God is love. God is my Father. God is, and we can carry on. Think about it again. Who is God for you? Because you're going to share it with somebody else just now. That's why it is so important. You're going to practice. We're going to have communion now. We're going to take the communion. And I'm going to ask you to look for a person who you do not really know. Male, male, female, female. And if it's really, really necessary, you can be three, but try to be one with one. We're going to share with each other, who is God for you? Share that with a person. Because this is what God is asking us, that we should be able to do outside as well. That we can tell other person, this is who God is for me. We've been singing, God is almighty, God is great, he's the Alpha and the Omega, and so on and so on. But we've got to share it with somebody else. And it must be coming out of our heart. We're going to have communion. And I'm inviting each and every one who has got the tradition, even if you're from another church, if you're attending over there and you have communion, that you can join us with communion as well. And at this time, we're going to say bye to the people who are following us on Facebook. And I'm going to ask you just now that you're going to come. We're going to start at that side. You're going to come and take the symbols. Look for a person where you can sit with a person, where you can share the communion, have communion together. But tell the other person, who is God for you? Because God has been saying to us, I am. I am. That's what he's been saying to us. But we're going to say, we're going to reply back to God, this is who you are for me. And we're going to share it with the person next to you. You can pray. We're going to play a song in at the same time as well. So there is a time limit. Because it could be that some people are going to say, wait, I need some the whole rest of this day to explain what God is. Just take one thing. What God is putting on your heart now, that you can say, this is who God is for me at this moment. Could be different again this evening. But at that moment, this is what you would like to share with somebody else. Before we're taking the communion, let's first pray. Father, you are. You are the I am. And Father, we cannot put it in words. We're going to try it just now. But it's still not even close to how great and how awesome and how holy and how great and almighty you are. We cannot put it in words. But Father, we just want to share it with somebody else. And then we're going to pray and we're going to say thank you. Thank you that you are the creator of heaven and earth. Thank you that you've sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. And thank you that he is our Savior and that he is our Lord. And thank you for the Holy Spirit to be our helper. As all eyes are closed at the moment, if you're here maybe this afternoon and you say, but you're talking about things, I've heard about it, but I've never made that decision. I've never called God my Father, the creator of heaven and earth. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've never asked the Holy Spirit to be my helper. And if you're here this afternoon and you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart, and you say, yes, I want to make that decision, this is going to be the first time in my life that I'm going to do it, then I'm asking you now to raise your hand. If there's no one raising the hand, Father, then thank you that we are children of yours, all of us, that we can have communion, that we can share with each other, and that we can give you all the glory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you from that side to come and take the symbols, and then it is the others. So I think what you can do is just go back again to your seat, and the others then look for somebody and find a place that you can sit and that you can pray together. In the meantime, we're going to play a song. There's also a time limit to it, and I really would like to that each and everyone, including the people at the media table, Yolandi as well, that all of you are going to be part of it, that we can share with the other one. Who is God for you?
Restore.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.